Welcome to Thriving in Your Third Act, a free online event featuring bold women leaders who are sharing their favorite tips, tools, and practices to help you find fire and fulfillment after 50. Share this event with your friends and family and come join us on Facebook at The Shift Network. And now your host, Sabrina Chaw.
Hello, everyone. I'm really excited to introduce you to Dr. Francesca McCartney. Francesca is the founder of the Medical Intuitive Career Training Schools, Academy of Intuition Medicine, Campus School, and Academy of Intuition Medicine Online, which is a distance learning school. As well, she is the founder of Energy Medicine University, another distance learning school, which offers certificates and degrees in integrative holistic health. Francesca, I'm so glad you're joining us today. Welcome.
Sabrina, it's lovely to be talking with you, and especially on a topic of prosperity and abundance for women.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something, when we're in our third act, Francesca, for women over 50 especially, we really want to know, how do we access that? Because it's like, okay, maybe it was elusive when we were younger in our first and second acts. What do we do what are the keys to accessing our well-being, our feeling of abundance and health and happiness at this point in life?
Well, I have been meditating since age 21, and I am 71 now, so I've been meditating for quite a long time. And I have observed in thousands of women that those of us who have a meditation practice, it is a deep way to cultivate your intuition, to cultivate your self-love, and to feel and stimulate creativity. And I have experienced, I feel that creativity is at the core of a woman's ability to prosper and to grow, and also to tap into natural health, health of body, health of mind, health of spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're talking about, Francesca, about the intuitive part of it and really tapping into our natural health via that way, can you describe more about what intuition is? And what that feels like, because I think there's a lot of confusion about, some people think intuition is just that flash of moment of a gut feeling, and maybe that is, and some people feel it's a deeper embodiment of something, you know, I don't know, bigger. So can you describe what intuition means?
Well, I want to start with saying we have the limited belief that we have been taught that five senses are the only human senses available to us. And we got stuck with that limited concept by Aristotle. So it's been quite a long time. Our bodies are wired to receive information from all types of subtle and overt sources. And intuition is a language that, if it is not spoken in your community, in your culture, in your household, those senses, those subtle senses and perceptors are lost. So it's a lost language for most people who grow up in the Western culture. And one of the prime ways to cultivate your intuition is to understand the ways that you can experience intuition and how it expresses itself as signals, as feelings, as knowings, and then take the next step after listening to your intuition to follow what you are sensing and feeling and knowing, and that becomes a part of your ability to continue to thrive by using more than your five common senses.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting point, Francesca. So there are more than five common senses. What are some of the other senses that you're referring to, the ones that we more commonly maybe use but actually may not be as aware of or appreciative of?
Recent research has shown that humans have at least 21 senses. And that's a little mind-boggling when you think about it. So the next question would be, well, what are those 21 senses? I'm not going to talk about all 21 with you right now. However, there are about 7 or 8 that are very useful and that probably you and your listeners use all the time, but do not call that sense or that hit or that awareness an intuitive language. So one of the most common intuitive senses used is knowing. It's an abstract. You get a hit. You sense something or you have information about something that no one ever told you. You never read a book about it. And you're trying to make a decision and the answer just comes to you as a knowing. I know this is right. Often people call that a gut sense or a gut instinct. Knowing is a very powerful intuitive sense for you to trust. And the more you trust your range of intuitive senses, the stronger and the louder they become. And it's nervous system wiring. It's a very human response when you listen to your intuition and feel your intuition and sense it and follow through. Your physiology begins to wire through your nervous system these signals. And it's like an electrical pulse that moves through your nervous system, through your brain, through all of your sense organs. And that becomes a part of your human language. So the more that you pay attention to your intuitive senses, the louder they get, the stronger they get wired in, and they come online with your 5 common senses. So knowing is a usual one that I'd say almost everyone has had or experiences often, a knowing sense. Another one is clairsentience. Clairsentience. It's a French word. It means clear feeling. And many women are clairsentient. And the way clairsentience works is like emotional radar. You're in a room with a group of people, and you can pick up through your body, through your emotions, what the ambiance of the group is. Or you're going to lunch with a girlfriend, and you're in a happy mood. You're buoyant. She's depressed. And she starts talking about depressing things. All of a sudden, you feel depressed. Your whole body goes down to gray. You go home, you want to cry, you go to bed, you pull the covers over your head. That's clairsentience in operation. Now, physiologically, clairsentience operates at your second chakra. It's an acupuncture point that's located around your navel and connects to your reproductive system. And that's why most women are clairsentient. And it is because your reproductive system is the nurturing part of your physiology and will absorb other people's feelings, the energy around you, take it into that center and begin to generate the hormones that will send signals through your body on how another person is feeling. Often that's called, in another vernacular psychology, the nurturance response. But as an intuitive sense, it's very clearly defined as clairsentience. Now, there's a liability to being a clairsentient woman in that you can take in too much of other people's feelings and get overwhelmed or get confused on, well, is this my feeling or is this her feeling? And in the liability side, it can be a cause of illness to a woman physiologically, psychologically, where you continue to feel like you don't know yourself. And the background to that would be you don't know yourself because you've taken in and absorbed like a sponge too much feeling and emotion from other people. That's clairsentience. Another is inner voice. And I believe almost every woman listens to her inner voice. Maybe not trusting inner voice, but your inner voice is usually that quiet voice within you. It's not the loud mental or analytical. It's not the rote mental information or directions that you get. It's usually the quiet guidance voice from within you. So it's an internal guidance system that is connected to your sense of who you are, your deep sense of who you are spiritually. And listening to your inner voice is a cultivated sense, whereas meditation will assist you in clarifying and separating all those other voices so that you get clarity with hearing, recognizing, and understanding, this is my inner voice. This isn't the mental loop from my teachers or my parents or my family. This is what my inner voice feels like and sounds like. And that's where meditation comes in. That's one of the important practices in meditation, is to quiet the mental, quiet the mind, so that you can hear your inner voice. And your inner voice acts as a spiritual guidance system.
Well, I love what you, how you term it, Francesca, this inner guidance system. I mean, I think of like a compass, right? And so can you share with us, ways that we can cultivate this inner guidance system? I mean, you mentioned meditation. You mentioned really feeling and knowing the other senses. What are other ways that we can cultivate this?
I believe that our bodies, our human home, hold keys to wisdom, keys to health of our mind, of course, health of our body, and cultivating a presence, a deep presence of our spirit. And our body has signals that she is always continually communicating to you. And practicing saying a hello to your body, a greeting, a warm, loving greeting to your body every day, and asking your body, how would you like me to honor you today? It's really a very simple practice. It's a practice that I do every day. Sometimes I do it a lot during one day. And I simply ask my body. I usually do this in the morning and I do it in the evening. I greet my body. I say hello to my body. And I say, body, how would you like me to honor you today? And then move into a really quiet space. Quiet space means not thinking about anything and shutting down all the outside stimulus, moving into an inner sanctuary place. And I listen, I feel, I sense what my body is communicating to me. Sometimes I get a sensation response or signal from my body when I ask, how would you like to be honored today? Sometimes I get a clairsentience where I get an emotion, and I feel the emotion, and then I interpret what the emotion means. Sometimes it's just a knowing, and sometimes my inner voice just starts talking to me and gives me directions. That's a cultivated way of using intuition to communicate to your body and to hone the signals that your body gives you.
Beautiful, beautiful. I really like that about actually having a conversation with our bodies. And also, Francesca, you mentioned that, you know, there are five keys to access all the things that we would love in our lives, such as health and happiness and a sense of well-being. And you've mentioned, I think, was meditation one of them? And maybe you can describe the other keys to doing this.
Yes, meditation is number one of the five keys. And meditating daily, 5 minutes is really all that it takes. Quiet your mind, slow your breathing down, create a imagery of moving into your body, not out of your body, but into your body and creating a inner sanctuary. I like to visualize a beautiful nature spot inside my body, and I bring my sense of self into that location, and I listen to my breath, I slow my body down. This in itself resets your brain to an alpha state, and that starts to entrain your body to the heartbeat of Gaia, to the earth pulse, the Schumann resonance. That in turn lowers stress levels, and that in turn opens your body up to receiving the natural antioxidants from the earth. And as you're in that quiet inner sanctum space, simply ask yourself, ask your body, how would you like me to honor you today? And just wait for a response. And then sit and simply practice being quiet, being in a no-think space, but being awake, being alive, being present, maybe listening to your breath. What that does is it gives your body waves of antioxidants. There's been research on this. And as soon as your body begins to feel those waves of antioxidants that are always surging up from the earth and bathing all living things in that Schumann resonance, your body starts to ground and connect to the earth. And that's a number one source of natural healing and health and a feeling of emotional well-being to the body. I believe that in order to create prosperity in your life, you have to take care of your body first. Your body has to feel loved, cared for, and that you as a spirit are wholly occupying your body. So for me, that's number one on the list of five keys to access abundance. The second key is to be in a loving relationship with yourself. And these keys to me, and I do this practice and I teach this practice to women and to men, I keep things really simple. I find that the simple things are the most useful, the most accessible, and are profound, and you can take them with you wherever you go. You don't have to have any special equipment or location. You take your inner sanctum, your holy place, your meditation place with you all the time. So a second key is to be in a loving relationship with yourself. The way I do that is every day, and I try to do it often, I have an affirmation, and it's a really simple affirmation. I simply say, I love you, to myself, and I give myself a hug. And what the hug does, you may know this, is when you hug yourself or when you hug another person, it releases endorphins. So you begin to feel in love with yourself. You get the kind of love warmth through your body. So being in a loving relationship with yourself, I love you, to your body. Another key is listen to your body signals. And that was one of the things that you and I just spoke about, living in your human home and cultivating your intuitive signals and trusting your intuition, listening to, trusting, and then following through. A fourth key is to practice forgiveness. And forgiveness, the word itself has a lot of charge to it. And I really try to take charge out of the word forgiveness. And I practice forgiveness in a different way than I think many of my colleagues or other teachers. And I practice forgiveness by letting go, just simply non-judging, letting go, and allowing another person to be who she is or who he is. And I have a very specific technique where I practice forgiveness. If I'm in a charged situation, relationship with another person, they're standing in front of me and I'm feeling triggered, I simply look at them and I count five neutral ways, objective ways that I am different than that person and that she is different than I am. She has blonde hair, I have black hair. She has gray eyes, I have blue eyes. She has four children, I have two children, and on. And as I'm making those neutral separations with that person, any charge that I'm feeling in my body, I am releasing and letting go of it. And I'm releasing and letting go of it and moving into a neutral witness space and observing the uniqueness between myself and that other person. So that's my practice of forgiveness, letting go. And then the fifth key is the practice of compassion. And again, people talk about compassion in many different ways. And the core practice of compassion that I use is to see the world and others as they are and not as how I want them to be. And to hold what I call holding a sacred witness space, to just simply allow the world and people around me to be who they are, to trust that they are perfect wherever they are, and that I am perfect wherever I am. So the practice of compassion. So those are the five keys that I practice. And how does that connect to abundance? What it does is it takes you into a space of being clearer within yourself so that you can listen to your intuition and know how prosperity feels for you without comparing yourself to other people. And it gives you the clarity so you can create intentions to create prosperity and create abundance in your life. So those are my five keys to access abundance.
Wow, that's beautiful, Francesca. Each one of those, I wish I had you for many, many telesummons, because I think each one of them is full in itself. Let me ask you about the one about practicing compassion and seeing that how things are and not how we want them to be. You know, oftentimes as women, we're encouraged to really feel deeply into our longing, our deepest, deepest desires. And so I wonder how would you suggest we reconcile our longing, which is from a very deeply embodied, heartfelt space, to practicing compassion, which is just not really focusing on what we want, but really just seeing things how they are. Because I mean, just energetically, they come from different places in the body.
Yes. And to me, compassion comes from the heart and the heart center. And cultivating compassion means you're cultivating an objectivity of witnessing from your heart the world around you and other people, and trying to make things happen or push things is more a willing, and that's from your gut. And actually, that's from your reproductive system pushing your body too hard to create from stress. And there's a whole lot of health implications when a woman operates in the world that way and tries to create in that way, but that's a whole nother topic. So in defining, in living compassionately and using that as a opening portal to creating prosperity and abundance, I'm going to go back to my first point. A practice of meditation is the best medicine for the creation of compassion and for the cultivation of prosperity and abundance. And there are very potent inquiry questions that you can ask yourself in meditation to seed this potency of prosperity. One inquiry is, in meditation, asking yourself, how do I define prosperity and abundance? How do I define compassion? And you will find when you go into meditation and into these internal questions that responses will be different in each meditation. It's like seeding a garden, and you just throw a bunch of seeds out, and you wait and see what pops up. So it's often different pieces of the garden that bloom at different points. Another inquiry is to ask yourself, what was the most recent prosperity experience that I had? Now, when I teach women to do these compassion and prosperity inquiries, that question usually brings a tremendous amount of information, validation to a woman, because we rarely look at what we've already achieved and often are pushing ourselves to create more and have more and reach into the future rather than to recognize and to honor what you already have created and what is in the creative fluid state. And from that fluid state, you get the information, the feelings, the sensations of how you can intentionally create prosperity. And that's another key, is inquiring, how do I intentionally create prosperity, compassion, and abundance in my life? I really trust that every woman has the answers to all of these internal questions, and that it takes quiet, meditative, introspective time to open up the portal within to receive that wisdom-based knowledge that already is living there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I so enjoy what you're saying about intention, Francesca, because I think a lot for women over 50, oftentimes sometimes we have regrets, remorse, you know, how I could have lived my life. Maybe we're not in a financial abundance that we'd like. Maybe we don't have the relationships we want. And so oftentimes we go back to the past and we have regrets. What you're saying is that if we can intentionally in this moment create prosperity or a feeling of abundance and compassion in our lives in this moment and find ways to do that, not only do we go back to the past to validate what we've done in the past, but in this moment we can find where there's prosperity in our lives, right? It may not be the ultimate picture of what we want, but there's something there. There's maybe a thread in our lives right now that we can locate and feel that we're actually being prosperous. Is that correct?
Yes. And regrets, I define as a lack of self-love. And that goes back to my second key point. Cultivate being in a loving relationship with yourself. I love you. So no matter what you experience in life, be it a regret, be it fault finding, feeling less than, come back to self-love and loving yourself. And that becomes a part of the whole. It becomes a part of a facet in the diamond of who you are. Not perfect, but it's all perfect. And I agree with you that we have threads of prosperity and creativity already running through our lives and running through our bodies and our emotions. And it takes quiet time to recognize, ground that awareness and knowing in, and trust that you are already in some way have been prosperous and abundant and can cultivate more of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And are there certain challenges, Francesca, that you find, especially for women over 50, that they often have in their lives of really accessing this place of abundance and accessing our inner guidance system? And what are those challenges and what can we do about them?
I think one of the main challenges, and I hear this often, is women saying, well, I don't have the time, or I'm too old to learn something new. And what those comments are usually based on is women have tried to move into prosperity, abundance, and self-love in a very complicated way, or have utilized a complicated process, whereas keeping it really simple, very clean, very clear, taking one step at a time will reap the deepest and most profound benefit. And that usually erases the time question.
Francesca, I appreciate what you're saying. Just take one step at a time to really come towards self-love and abundance, and that it doesn't have to be complicated. Is there perhaps, you talked about self-inquiry. Is there an experiential practice that you can spend a couple minutes on, maybe lead us through a visualization even now, just to help us land in that place of just having the patience and the trust that time is on our side, that self-love is right here if we just listen to it, or something like that that can just really ground us in what you're talking about?
Would you like me to lead you in a 5-minute meditation?
Sure. Or, if it could be shorter, that would be great. Just something to really help us ground us in that place.
Okay, let's begin with taking a deep breath. Breathe in through your nose and exhale out your mouth. And take a moment to listen to the sound of your breath. Feel how your breath moves in and out. And make that the most important thing that you are doing at this moment. Come into present now. Feel your breath. Listen to your breath. And now within your body, create a beautiful sanctuary space. This is your inner sanctum, your private meditation place. Bring in a favorite nature spot, imagery of colors, sounds, an internal sacred space for you to feel, to visualize, to imagine that you are wholly present as a spirit in your body, and be there. Feel yourself in that inner sanctum and say, I love you. Listen to your inner voice, the quiet wisdom voice. I love you. And give yourself a hug. And then greet your body and ask your body, how would you like me to honor you today? And sit quietly in a no-think space and pay attention to signals of your body communicating to you, sentiently, on a knowing level, on an inner voice level. How would you like me to honor you today? Listen, trust, and follow through. And then again, I love you. And take your arms and wrap them around yourself and give yourself a hug. So that's a quick 3-minute meditation.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I can feel the oxytocin in my body right now as I'm hugging myself as I'm talking to you right now. I don't think I want to let go. Francesca, that was, I so appreciate how you distilled down very potently the 5 keys to accessing our inner guidance and this feeling of abundance. I know we only have a few minutes left, but, you know, I know you use intuitive technology at the Academy. And there are certain applications that are really being where intuitive technology is being used to really help and empower people to their greater selves. What are some of those applications that you use? So it's not just, you know, a spiritual thing. It's very physical. It can be very psychological. Can you just talk a couple minutes about that?
Where every student begins in our training program is understanding that your body, your whole body, your whole self, your body, your mind, your spirit can be used as a measurement instrument to diagnose, detect, and self-heal. So it is the dictum, physician, heal thyself. So the training and the technology of using your intuition is your intuitive senses guide you for self-diagnosis and then tapping into your best medicine, your innate life force energy, which is always there, always flowing. It is your inner pharmacopoeia for self-healing. And tapping into and learning how to direct, distribute, and potentize your life force energy for psychological, emotional, physical health is what every single healing system does at its core. Western medicine gives you pills, does physical palpitations, all of that, even homeopathy and acupuncture, all of those healing systems at its core focus on stimulating your own self-healing potency, your life force energy, as I call it. Many cultures and methodologies call your best medicine your innate energy, your life force energy. All of those medicines and all of those methodologies at their core are stimulating your life force energy so that you can heal yourself, body, mind, and spirit. And that's a large part of what we train our students to tap into in our intuitive technology. And there's really larger applications once you learn how to tap into this energetic field that is within your body and occupies the wholeness of nature.
I love that. Is there an, you know, I'm so inspired by what you're saying, Francesca. Is there an example or a success story you can share with us of a client that maybe take a minute or two just to talk about that?
Oh, there's so many of them. You know, I've been teaching this curriculum for 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them. I can break it down into techniques or modules, methodologies. Within our training program, which is primarily training people to be medical intuitives as a vocation, and that's usually about 70-75% of our students come into the program with that objective, but there's 25% or sometimes more people who come in because they just simply want to learn to live a better life and to be healthier. And within that grouping are many people who are referred to our intuitive technology training because their doctors don't have any other medicines, don't have any other ways to take care of their illnesses, and have defined their illness as a spiritual malady or an energetic illness. And that's what we are teaching our practitioners to do, to diagnose causes of illnesses that are stimulated from a spiritual malady or an energetic malady, and then give tools so that our practitioners can remedy those particular illnesses. So let me see. Oh, fertility issues. We have a module that we teach. We call it the male-female energy anatomy system. And I would say a high 80% of women who are having fertility issues and practice that technology get pregnant. In fact, we just had every year we have a graduating class. We just graduated 30 practitioners. And two of the women in that class had fertility issues when they entered the academy. They got pregnant during the training and were pregnant the whole time. They gave birth just before they graduated, and they brought their babies to class, and it was a beautiful delight to watch these babies in class. They would sit there, and they would be quiet, and they'd meditate with the rest of us. They would... They would talk, you know, not, they would talk and we would understand what they were saying. And they were the most beautiful little babies. We gave the two babies miniature diplomas, and the mom said that they were going to frame them and hang them above their crib.
love that.
But yeah, fertility issues are often, that's one instance. But there's so many.
Oh, I bet. I was just sort of popped into my mind. I mean, I can imagine all states of being like, there could be cancer, there could be depression, there can just be achieving our life's purpose. I mean, all sorts of applications that can be used.
Well, depression is a large umbrella. As you understand, depression is a large umbrella. But many, mm-hmm. many practitioners find the causes of their depression, and a large time, the source is not even their depression. And when they can weed out the feelings and the emotions that aren't theirs that's causing the depression and fill themselves up with the potency of their best medicine, their life force energy, they start to feel like themselves and the depression lifts. So that goes back to my description of clairsentience, which is emotional radar. And do you recall when I talked about the liability side of that? When a woman pulls in too much of other people's emotions and feelings, she forgets how she feels and what's her feeling, what's another feeling. That often leads to depression. And actually, that also leads to fertility issues as well, because it's the reproductive system that is the clairsentient or the clear feeling, the empathetic system, as many people call it, in the body. And that compromises the reproductive organs and fertility and such. Oh, another common one that's cured is Lyme.
Lyme's disease.
Yeah. I don't even allow my students, when I interview my students, to come into the program and they tell me that they have Lyme disease. I tell them that they are not allowed to use that word in our school because we look at that disease as a spiritual illness, and that's how we work with it. Wow. Actually, there's often disease students who come in with illnesses because they're referred by doctors, and you know they list off the illnesses, and I look at them and I say, you're not allowed to use that word. You're not allowed to use that term, because then that defines and limits your belief system, and your body adheres to that, and it keeps you locked in to an endless loop.
Yeah, I can really see that. I mean, not just for Lyme, but for any type of condition. I remember one wise practitioner told me, do not treat yourself as a diagnosis, you know, whenever these labels come upon us. Yeah, so I really appreciate what you're saying, Francesca. This has been incredibly incredibly powerful to hear the applications and how intuitive technology can be used. And thank you so much for walking us through the five keys to accessing abundance and a sense of well-being. Is there any final thought you'd like to leave with us, with our audience today, to really empower them to step into taking on their own intuitive inner guidance system?
Meditate daily, 5 minutes, and listen to your body signals. Listen, trust, and follow through.
Potent. Thank you. Thank you so much, Francesca, for taking the time and sharing this wisdom with us. I really, really appreciate it, and I hope you come back next year.
Thank you. Good health to you.
And listeners, you can find Francesca at her website, which is intuitionmedicine.org. Again, intuitionmedicine.org. And thank you, listeners, for joining us, and I hope you join us in the next call.
Thank you for joining us for Thriving in Your Third Act, brought to you by the Shift Network. To learn more, visit thrivinginyourthirdact.com. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and sharing this empowering path with your friends and family.